Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Mosaic Life Podcast.
Life is an art. Every moment a picture painted in time. The color, texture, lighting, all context. The Mosaic Life vision is to cast a warm glow on your masterpiece, highlighting the struggle while showcasing the culmination of years of hard work.
Join us for guided meditations, interviews with authors and leaders, and engaging conversation as we explore the depths of our consciousness. Ernie, my friend, welcome back. Thanks for coming back to join me for another conversation.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah. How's it going?
It's good. I had a great morning with my family and had been looking forward to this. So I spent some time prior doing just a little bit of breath work and practice and got me in the zone. And now I feel good.
I'm good. Here. Good. So you, not you specifically, Ernie, but you as a general audience may, you've probably noticed a theme in which we label our conversations based on the topic of conversation that we have. And so we kind of decided to go into this particular conversation as a, they're never scripted, but it's a little bit, it's more candid. It's kind of a check-in,
totally.
If you will.
Yeah.
What makes this one special is that this is the first conversation Ernie and I have had since the Mosaic Life went live.
Yeah, I didn't even realize.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
How's it feel to be famous?
Famous, yeah. I mean, how do you even answer that? Since launching it, it definitely feels different. When we were doing it, kind of stockpiling.
That's, yeah.
It's fairly easy to do, right?
Right.
And then once you put a definite scale of time to something, it's like, okay, now we've launched, now we've committed to our certain time frame of doing things.
Yeah.
So then it really locks it into place.
I know I've said this previously, and it's just, it's been exciting for me because you can call me what you want to call me. I'm a veteran podcaster. I've been doing it for several years. So seeing your excitement and like it's like seeing a little child on Christmas as, you know, we talk about the different elements of it. Okay. Like, oh, this shit's real, man. We're going live.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So it's been really good. And I have to compliment you because I don't particularly feel, nor have I gotten really the feedback that I have got a quote unquote radio voice, which is fine. I still enjoy talking, but people far and wide have been complimenting your voice and your meditations and how relaxing you are. And it's you're literally blushing right now. So.
Well, yeah. So it's funny because, well, one, I used to record music, so that helped me to understand the value of voice. But when I was younger, I hated my voice. So maybe it's been this thing like inside of me to just like create the most beautiful voice or something. Not to say that my voice is beautiful.
It's beautiful.
But I've had practice with like recording music requires a certain presence intact with the vocal cords.
It does.
And so I try to implement that in the recordings for the meditation. So, so I'm glad to hear that it's actually turning out in a way that is soothing.
You're making women swoon.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well.
He's married. He's married.
I hope men are using it as well because men could use it.
Too. Honestly, I am, and it's interesting for me because I listen to it from a critical standpoint. Not that not that, oh, that's terrible. No, it's like I'm listening to it because I know we're putting it out into the world. So when I listen to it, I intentionally try to find things that I want to make better.
Yeah.
And so I was worried, meditating to our own meditations, that I would not be able to focus because, that music should be a little bit louder, a little bit softer, that sort of thing. But I sat down for meditation number two, which at this point in time has been out for weeks. Yesterday, I think it was, and it's a short 7-minute meditation, but it was bliss.
Yeah.
Truly.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually was able to do that too. It's really hard to detach from that because it's not really hard. You can do it. It's not really hard to detach from, this is me, or this is something we need to put out and it needs to sound good, and just settle into it. Like you're listening to brand new music by one of your favorite artists. And I did that. I was able to do that yesterday and it felt really good too.
So
it's good to hear that you're doing it.
So you're able to meditate to your own voice.
That was the first time.
That's interesting. That was the first time. How's that feel?
I mean, I still found myself coming out of it to check in with whether I liked that piece or
not.
But just having, there's something in general about meditation being guided. It's nice to have some element or person tell you what to do so that you can just fully let go.
Agreed.
Totally let go.
Agreed.
And so I was trying to let myself be that person as I listened to myself.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I was really proud of it and I'm glad you enjoyed it as well.
Thrilled. Yeah. Seriously, I could see it in your eyes when we were talking about it prior to recording.
Yeah.
You're pumped to put it out into the world, and so am I.
Yeah, and more to come, man.
A lot more.
That part's becoming really fun.
Yeah, good. Yeah. I'm glad. Since we're on the subject of meditation, and because there's no real agenda for this, which gives me anxiety, but I'll get through it. I am learning more and more about meditation and the different types. And I guess there's a couple of points I want to touch on this. Where do I want to go first? First, I guess I want to learn more about meditation, which is fascinating to me. And I had known about it. I think Tim Ferriss turned me on to it, or also known as loving kindness. But I just read more in depth into it in 10% Happier by Dan Harris. And he was on a silent meditation retreat and actually broke down during his meditation, which is fascinating to me. And the idea is sending, I don't like the word vibes because it sounds very woo-ish, but sending love and kindness to somebody you love, somebody you're indifferent toward, and somebody whom you don't necessarily see eye to eye, and see how that affects you on a mental and personal level. Also, I have tried this briefly, walking meditations. Have you ever done walking meditations?
Yeah, a few.
Yeah. It's just, it helps remind you to remain in the present. I mean, you sit down, you meditate, you're constantly coming in and out of focus. But when you're walking, when you have no end in sight to where you want to go, no destination, is just about traversing and just focusing on each step, how each foot hits the pavement, it can be very meditative. So I guess I want to know, I have a couple questions for you. I want to know your experiences with other types of meditation outside of mindfulness. And also, you had gotten some feedback from our first meditation that when we were talking a little bit about some of the downloads, that you had a friend who listened to it while driving. And then I think, you know, in your mind, that wasn't necessarily how you constructed it, or I don't know where it is.
So I told her,
yeah,
maybe that's not the best place to listen to it.
Right.
Yeah.
But to me, I felt like maybe we should let people interpret it as they will. I don't know. I want to kind of delve into meditation as a specialty, because that is where you are.
Sure. Yeah. So
dig in wherever you want.
I'll start there at the end and then work my way back. There's something unique to be learned about yourself when you're not doing anything. And so that's why I emphasized that to her. And I probably said, close your eyes too. So I hope she didn't
she
follow
kept
directions.
Her, right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there are so many distractions, even with your eyes open, looking out a window.
Yeah.
And if you're new to meditation, my opinion, I don't know, this is my opinion for myself, even when I'm doing it now, is to take away all the other things.
Yeah.
primarily, like when you're just starting, because my idea now behind meditation is to just meditate all the time in my life, when I'm walking, when I'm working, when I'm having a conversation.
Just be mindful of what it is you're doing. If you're brushing your teeth, brush your teeth. Don't think about what you had for dinner. Don't think about what you have to do at work tomorrow. Just be in that present moment.
Right.
And be, just do that. Because if we do all these things in life, whether it's as mundane as brushing our teeth or something that we do every day, conversating with a loved one, we oftentimes take those for granted. And just happened to be today, I was listening to Sam Harris talk about, you never know when the last time you're going to do something is, whether it's brushing your teeth or whether it's going snowboarding. At some point in time, that will be your last time. Mm-hmm. And so being in the present each and every time you do it helps you truly appreciate it.
Totally. Yeah. Sam Harris said something one time about, he was sitting around his dinner table and everybody was angry. And, or I don't know if everybody was angry, what he said, but there was a general tension in the room. And then he thought, what if this were the last time I would ever sit around the table with my family?
Right.
And he entertained that thought process and it completely brought him back to appreciation.
Yeah.
That's a side note there, because I really appreciate his work as well. But in terms of, if you're going to learn to play the piano, you don't necessarily want to go to the mall and play on the public piano that they have in the middle of the court there to start your first practice session.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much around you. I wouldn't want to do that. And it would be almost nearly impossible.
I didn't even know there were pianos in, I didn't even know there were malls anymore.
Well, they're extinct.
Right.
But
for all those Gen Zers, there were these things where there were a bunch of stores.
They have pianos in public places, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't want to take your own piano into a public place and try to practice there. You'd like to minimize all the resource or all the distractions. And then dive into it fully in that moment.
Yes.
And so I think the same thing would be helpful with meditation.
Yeah.
So maybe, I mean, people are going to listen to this while they're driving. I imagine some people did. Great.
I get both sides. Meditation in and of itself is so hugely important. And if you're able to find a little bit of mindfulness in a situation that can at times be stressful, such as being on the road, then fantastic.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, if it helps, that's cool.
Right.
And especially if it helps.
I want to hear, because like I said, I'll repeat this over and over. You are a meditation instructor. I truly enjoy what you do. I want to know what experience you've had with other types of meditation, whether it be metta, walking, or any other types that I'm not even familiar with.
Yeah, so I've been to a meditation class that each week does a different meditation. Mm-hmm. So I've experienced the loving kindness. We've done the walking. And then through the program that I speak about quite often, because I'm in it currently, the Embodied Men's Leadership Program, leadership training rather.
Yeah.
Through that program, have been introduced into many different forms of yoga, meditation, breath work, embodiment, all of which I don't necessarily know the names to. They're just practices that I've now implemented and plan to share in the different ways that we can listeners.
And I will say it'll be meditation number two.
Yeah.
This is a suspense novel, but I don't want to spoil anything. But the exercise that you do in that particular meditation is powerful.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, because I think I made that up.
Did you? Well, good. Take credit for it.
I think I did.
That's awesome.
There's sometimes you have thought, maybe you've had a thought at some point, you're like, that's a really good thought.
Right.
Did I make that up?
And then you Google it, and then you see 1,000 people have done it before.
But I'm pretty sure that was something I used for myself, and that's what I intend to do with these meditations.
Yeah.
For instance, you spoke about loving kindness. So I've been implementing my own little made up loving kindness meditation in my day. A couple, but I'll touch on this one. And I use this, I invented this, so to speak, with my family. Because many times my 4-year-old daughter is reluctant, or maybe she's dealing with something and she's sad.
Right.
And I have a real addiction to time. So, and I'm trying to break that.
What do you mean by addiction to time? I mean, in the sense that it's limited.
Since
that you protect it.
I'll just continue the story and I think that'll clear it up. Okay. So if one of my children is having an issue or having trouble with something and it's 9:30 and we have to be somewhere at 10, I think it matters. The instinct within me is that it matters and I need to speed up. That's my addiction to time. Like that's what I'm, maybe that's a, maybe there's a better way to say that. But the truth is it's better in those moments to slow down. And so my loving kindness meditation the past week has been, I love you so much that I'll stay in this moment with you for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I'll say that in my head. Like the other night, I'm trying to put my daughter to bed and she doesn't want to give me her tablet. I don't believe in taking it out of her hands. Like I would reprimand her for taking things from other people. So right. I don't want to take it from her hands. So I look for common ground. Wasn't finding it. She is very strong-willed. And so I stopped talking. I stood still on the side of her bed. She's laying there in her bed and she's laying literally on top of her tablet. So because she thinks I'm going to come reach for it.
Right.
So she's like protecting it. And it's funny, like thinking that she was doing that, but she was upset. And so I just stopped talking and I started breathing. And in my mind, I love you so much that I would spend the rest of my life in this moment with you over and over and over. And then if she spoke, I left that thought for a minute to listen.
Right.
And then went back into that. And over the course of 45 minutes, she was asleep. The same 45 minutes that if I were addicted to schedule or plan or time,
right,
I would have been like, we need to be reading books. We need to be playing guitar and singing. Like, this is how we do it. But instead those 45 minutes were spent me standing there. And then eventually the walls went down.
Right.
I wasn't putting up resistance. I was just sending her love. And the word vibe, I don't care what anybody thinks about it. That's totally what's happening.
Yeah.
And so a meditation, like a loving kindness meditation, it's like a forgiveness thing. There's a forgiveness piece to it. But overall, it's just strengthening the same muscle that we were talking about with listening.
Right.
So when I'm feeling angry, now my reflex is to say, I love you so much that I would spend the rest of my life in this moment with you.
That's good, man. I like that.
Instead of saying,
yeah.
So that's what I like about the loving and kindness meditation and my experience with it. And this stuff's practical. I think what I don't know if people think this or not, but what comes to mind is the idea that, okay, I meditate and then I go into the world. Mm-hmm. But the practice of meditation is giving us the practical tools that we need to be more ourselves in the world,
exactly,
to be more at peace in the world, to be more relaxed in the world.
Yeah.
And we develop our own toolbox from that. So it might be loving kindness. It might be walking.
Yeah.
I know sometimes I'll think, oh, I'm not present and I'm moving. So I'll start focusing on my footsteps.
Yeah.
And so having practiced walking meditation, it's created that trigger or that reflex to tune in to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you, in essence, just quoted, they're like minds for sure. Part of the podcast I was listening to with Sam was a lot of people will practice meditation in a time when they feel as if they need to relax, at a time when they would use it the way somebody uses alcohol. You have a stressful day at work, you feel like you need to meditate and relax. Whereas if you build a practice of meditation where it becomes habitual, where you do it day to day, that equips you with the tools to handle difficult situations, to be mindful when you're in a hectic environment or when you're arguing or in a disagreement with somebody. That's why a steady practice can be so important and so beneficial. And then in regard to loving kindness and something you had just said, that reminds me of a quote from, it's attributed to Abraham Lincoln. You never know nowadays, but I think Abraham Lincoln said this, something along the lines of, I don't like that man. I must get to know him better.
Mm.
Because if we form snap judgments of people whom we don't know, we carry those with us for, could be for a few minutes, could be for a few hours, could be the rest of our lives. But if we don't know that person, if we don't give them the opportunity to earn our trust and respect, how are we ever going to find out if that anger was justified? And so sharing, having, you know, what the, your mantra essentially is, if you get upset with your daughter, then you will say, I love you. I will spend the rest of my life in this moment with you. That changes your frame of mind,
mm-hmm.
which I love. I mean, you can do that. You don't have to say, oh, I love that person who just cut me off, but you can try to appreciate who they are, what situation they may be in.
Yeah. I haven't had a particularly challenging situation with it where I've thrown it in, but I've used it in other situations, even with strangers that I've just met, and it totally puts the walls down. So yeah, it's really nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Awesome. Well, I'm excited to hear your further meditations. They're really good. So yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's your experience lately with meditation?
I've been getting much, much better at the consistency. I posted this on our Instagram at some point in time. I'm a data nerd, and so I like spreadsheets. I mm-hmm. like creating ridiculous, overly complicated spreadsheets that track every element of everything. And so I created a quote unquote life tracker that I use moderately for a couple months, but finally, as of October 1st, I've been tracking everything day by day. So I track my meditations, I track my happiness, my contentedness, my anxiety, stress levels, everything from what I eat to sleep, all of that. So
nice.
It's been very helpful.
Wow.
And seeing what affects what, whether I'm sleeping well, how that affects my meditation, my mood and all that. It's been enlightening. It's been very helpful. So
yeah,
I do find myself, I know in one episode, and it may be the habit episode, I don't remember. We talked a little bit about a motivation behind meditation, and I perhaps erroneously, I don't know how to say that word, said that I meditate for the feeling, for how it makes me feel, for, trying to attract that body-wide orgasm. And that was, of course, an exaggeration, but that it does make me feel good. It does give me peace of mind. It does stick with me for up to an hour, that very feeling of being at ease. But it does also help me approach difficult situations throughout my day, remain calm and level-headed, especially when I get put in a trying state. So it's the practice is there, and the practice has been helping.
Yeah, good
certainly.
For you.
Yeah.
Now, something else came up as you were explaining it that's really interesting. You track your anxiety and stress levels?
Yes.
And how do you, what's your, what is it? What's your metric for that? Yeah.
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 Arbitrary. I mean, everything is tracked from 1 to 10, or I guess 0 to 10. So all of the fields, the higher the number, the better. The stress and anxiety, the lower the field, the lower the number, the better. So most days I'm at 0 or 1 for both of those.
Wow. So you do them separately?
So it's all in one. Yes, it's all in one sheet. And then it's the sum of them all. So I guess for stress and anxiety, it's so complicated without seeing it. Stress and anxiety subtracts from the total daily score.
Rather than the numbers, actually,
yes.
What I'm more curious about is, first I'll ask to clear that up. Do you do anxiety and stress separately?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so those
yes.
are two different metrics.
Yes.
Why did you do those separate?
Because they're two different things.
Okay, explain that to me.
Yeah, so anxiety, you know, if I... if I catch myself worrying about something that is, I guess, I don't know if mundane is the right word. Like if I, so they're doing, obviously you walked into our studio or my apartment, seeing all of the, you know, they're doing a bunch of repairs, which it looks phenomenal. They've painted the outsides. They're redoing the carpet today. And so I could have anxiety about whether or not that is going to affect my day-to-day life. That to me would be anxiety. Stress, I typically associate with, generally speaking, work. Because I am self-employed, I am able or capable of keeping my stress levels to a minimum. But if I have a big project that is, you know, a deadline is coming up and I'm not where I need to be, that is how I would define stress in my own life.
This is awesome. I really appreciate this, that distinction. So the fact that you track these, first of all, and that you're creating a distinction between these two things. So anxiety is like a looming sense of,
it's a sense of doom.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then stress is, there's too much going on or I'm not.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, when you go ahead,
I was just going to say, I think stress is, you know, well, stress, biologically speaking, is due to cortisol levels, which are secreted by your adrenal gland. That's, as much as I know, I'm not that smart. That's all I'm going to say on that. But that will, you know, obviously that will create heightened heartbeats, you know, give you cold sweats, that sort of thing.
Okay.
I, in regard to anxiety, that they are different physiological symptoms for me. Okay. Anxiety is that sense of doom. It doesn't have any of that heartbeat or, you know, the sweaty palms. It's just like I am so worried about this. I don't want to do anything. I'm just sitting on the couch. Like that is the feeling that I get.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Not cool. But thank you for the distinction.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Anxiety is cool. No, right. It's definitely not. I still have my bouts with stress and anxiety, and it's by far not cool. Nonetheless, so you track these things.
I do.
And any given moment, do you do certain times a day? Do you check in the morning, check in the evening?
Yeah, so I will, it's morning and evening. So I,
both.
It's both. Okay. Well, because certain things, you know, I need to know at regard. So I will put in all my sleep data in the morning. If I need to catch up on the prior day for what I ate and whatnot, I also track how long I fast for. I'll put that in there. And then in the evening, I will kind of go through the 7 or 8 fields of stress, anxiety, happiness, contentedness, workouts, meditation, those sort of things. Just make sure everything's filled in. So, yeah. So my life tracker at this point in time, I think it's got like, well, I got it right here. I'll just pull it up.
Yeah.
It's got 1, 2, 3. It's got 5 tabs at the bottom.
Okay.
Do you want me to go through these?
I would love to hear more about it.
All right. So the first is the books. Books are important to me. You've got 150 books to your left-hand side and 3 more bookshelves in my house. I love books. We talked about this before. If I were to collect anything, they're books. It's just, I'm a nerd. It is what
it is. It's not nerdy.
Yeah.
No, so, it's totally cool. And I imagine much of the people listening to this are either reading books or want to read books.
I hope so. Yeah, and do you know, totally. Which, as a complete aside, we are doing our absolute best to keep detailed show notes and whatever books we do mention. Credit to Ernie. He will go through the episode and kind of write those down so we can link to them in the show notes.
Yeah.
So I think we talked about 10% Happier Today, which I don't think we've talked about in the past. So that will be in the show notes.
Which is also a podcast.
Which is also a podcast.
Which will now be in the show notes.
Which I have not listened to, but I would like to.
Yeah.
So I've got my books column. So it was on, if we want to get specific here, on August 18th or thereabouts, I decided that I'm just going to start reading 50 pages per day, because I've got all these books and they look nice and they make me look smart, but if I'm not reading them, then I'm not getting the benefit from them. So I created a backlog of books, started reading 50 pages a day, and through 67 days later, I've read 12 books, which is averaging 1.25 books.
Is that the tab we're on now?
This is the tab we're on.
Okay.
Now. Yeah. So, I mean, I track everything, man. I track the pages I've read, the amount of pages I've read, over 3,000 pages in 2 months. My average page per day is 45 exactly. It's down from 50.
This is awesome.
I've read a total of 12 books in 67 days, 1.25 books per day, 5.37 books per month, 12 books per year.
Wow.
Yeah, so
kudos for reading all of those books. No, dude.
Thanks, man.
No way. Yeah. And also, I'm really enticed by all of this data. Have you always have you always been wanting data to track? Or is it the tracking? Is it keeping you accountable? Like, what is this?
I've always been an Excel nerd. I've always liked it. And the idea that we live in a society where you can track, where everything is trackable, where you can predict trends based on historical data, that's always fascinated me. Now, I'm by no means a data scientist, but the ability that I have to track the things that I do and how they affect my life, it seemed like an easy answer for optimizing my life. And so we'll dig into that here in a second.
Yeah.
So yes, I've got my books that I have read. I've got, I think, like 40 more books on my list. Tab number two is consumption.
Okay.
So I track my weights in the morning. I track the time when I break my fast, number of coffees I've had, then time of the evening I start my fast, and then the total fasting time. For example, last night to today, I fasted 15 hours and 10 minutes. I can see trends based on my weight, based on how I feel throughout the day. Track any supplements I take. I try to track my water intake and then the lunch and dinner that I have.
Wow. Yeah. And what I imagine might happen in something like this is you're looking back, you know, weeks later, or maybe just the same day, and you're like, oh, I ate all of these things. And then you could also go to your habit tracker and be like, oh, well, my stress was a 6.
Exactly.
I slept 4 hours.
Yeah. So the idea behind this was I found myself sometime a couple months ago realizing that some days I feel fantastic, some days I feel like crap. And obviously there are countless variables that go into the way I feel day after day. And so this is me trying to put a formula together to feel amazing each and every day and to be perform at peak levels every single day.
Totally.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So the next tab is my H&M tab. That sounds like something kinky, but it stands for happiness and motivation. So, okay. Yeah. So I think there's 8 of these. So alertness, motivation, productivity, happiness, contentedness, workouts, meditation, stress, anxiety, and daily score.
And if you could see this, where it even has color codes. So if you type a number in, I'm assuming it gives it a color value.
It does.
And then you can see over the course of weeks
how
these values, simply by looking at the overall color scheme.
Exactly.
Creates a mosaic of sorts.
That's exactly what it is. It's a mosaic of habit. totally, you can see, workout, I need to get better because a lot of zeros, which are a lot of reds. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this is where is this the one with stress? I didn't hear that.
It's the one with stress. Yeah. So stress, anxiety. So alertness, motivation, productivity, happiness, contentedness, workout, meditation. Those values, the higher they are, the more positive they contribute to the daily score. Positively, they contribute to the daily score. Stress and anxiety, the higher the numbers of those are, the more negatively they contribute to the daily score. So everything is can't remember the word. It's a combination of all these factors, and then I get a daily score that kind of tracks, the higher the level, the more green it is, the lower the level, the red it is. Yeah. So 2 days ago, I had a really good day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the question I originally was wanting to bring up is when you're in a moment and you're wanting to be honest about your stress level or your anxiety level or how productive you were, in a given moment. How do you go into that sober of emotion or ego and say, okay, what is
so,
it?
Ernie, it's funny you asked me that question. Did you happen to watch my Instagram TV yesterday?
I did.
It's about being honest with yourself. Yeah. If we're going to lie to ourselves, these are the lies that we're going to start to believe. Just because we believe ourselves to be better than we actually are doesn't make us such. And so I'm tracking this for me.
Yeah.
If I pretend that on October 10th, which was a horrible day, that was the lowest score that I had, it was a wonderful day. Then what value does that bring me? Mm. I mean, the ultimate goal of this worksheet is to find the positive and negative influences in my life. And if I can't track those properly, if I can't be honest with myself, then this whole spreadsheet is worthless.
Yeah, you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
And then so how would you use that necessarily for looking? Do you look at October 10th and then say, okay?
Yes. So okay. I do know on October 10th, I actually, coincidentally enough, I think that was the first Instagram story that I did on our channel. Was the night before my downstairs neighbors decided to just be really loud on their patio. And so I got about 3 hours of sleep that night and that just ruined me throughout the entire day. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that moves on to the sleep tab. I'm not going to go through all this data. I've got an Oura ring. It tracks all my sleep, heart rate variability, time in bed, time of sleep. And so you can kind of go through and see, you know, how it's affecting your readiness, how it's affecting your day as well.
It's intricate.
Yeah,
it's beautiful, man.
It is. And then I keep some additional notes in case I have anything that, yeah.
Just like notable things that might happen that day.
Yeah, yeah. Like yesterday I went rock climbing.
Gotcha.
Fell asleep. I fell asleep in here reading. So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah. This is cool, man.
And then last but not least. Yeah, absolutely. Which is kind of a natural segue. this is something I would love to dig into. Ernie texted me like a week or two ago, something in regard to, it was called a dopamine fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been talking for the last 10 minutes. Why don't you kind of explain what a dopamine fast is?
Yeah, so I got the idea through a couple avenues, but essentially the way we would go into this or the way we talked about going into this is anything that gives us an excited spike to take it out of our lives for a certain period of time.
I would challenge you to distinguish between excitement and pleasurable, because I think there's a difference.
Yeah, you might have to take that one. I mean, I see similarities there.
There are similarities. I think, you know, you can get excited from going for a run, but that is, pleasure isn't necessarily unhealthy, but I mean, you can also get pleasure from drinking alcohol, where I don't think you would get excited from that. Or maybe some people would. It's just a very small distinction that I wanted to make.
I guess I'll say it like this. In the same way that you would take food out of your system for an extended period of time to let your body reach equanimity, we're talking about doing the same thing for our minds. So
right.
We might pull up our phone quite often and maybe even have an addiction to it. I found myself in the past where I might just pull up the same thing I was just on, for instance, Facebook,
like right,
over and over again in a row, because it's just like wired into my system because my body believes that if I have this thing, then it's great, and then I'll have this spike in dopamine, you know.
Yeah.
And so there are different things, and food is one of those things. Music, sex, social media, internet in general, TV could be one thing. I don't personally watch a lot of TV, but that could be one thing. And so we were talking about taking an extended period of time where we did a fast on certain elements of our lives that aren't highly important. For instance, you have a business, so there are ways we would have to account for that and then just see what happened to our system.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've done this before in the past with social media in particular. I'm sure, most of us can see, how it can be detrimental to our mental health any given day, being attached at the hip to social media, to what other people's lives and the constant comparison we could bring up in those things. And so seeing that, many times I'll take a day and not even pick up my phone or take, I even have hours where if I'm at home, it's on my dresser in my room, you know, those types of things.
Super frustrating for your podcast partner. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. It hasn't become an issue.
No,
yet.
It's fine.
and then it really frees up a lot of mental RAM when you're not constantly pulling energy from your mind towards your phone or towards your TV.
And coincidentally, when we started talking about this, I just happened to be listening to Joe Rogan's preview for Sober October, which kind of got me in the mindset, yeah, we should do this. We should make challenges. Like, we should do this every month.
No dopamine December. December.
Right.
Dopesember. I don't know. Anyways.
No, but I want to get back to this because I want to talk about what we can do. But I am the type of person who is generally all or nothing. I tend to take things to the extreme sometimes, which can be frustrating for some people. Not so much for others. So I was at a wedding this past weekend. I drank the two nights prior at the rehearsal dinner and just the night before just by myself because I'm sad. I'm not sad. I woke up the morning of the wedding and I felt bad about myself, and I felt physically bad. And I've taken extended times away from alcohol in the past, and the most notable improvement in my life was my mental clarity. And so I know the effect that can have. And so I texted Ernie. I said, "Hey man, listen. There are things that I want to, and I'm probably making myself sound better than I did in the text message, but there are things that I want to do in my life that I don't feel like alcohol is contributing to. It's a detriment." And so I made the perhaps brazen or brash decision to take a year off of drinking, which I'm not going to challenge you to do unless you want to take part in such an event.
I don't drink much.
You don't drink much? Okay.
And when I do, I've probably been intoxicated. I would venture to say maybe 10 times this year.
That's good.
Maybe.
I'm a lot more than that.
I'll keep like maybe some week I'll buy a six pack and have one when I come home from work or something with dinner. But I don't drink that much. Yeah.
So are you in for sober 2020?
I mean, I guess it would be easy.
It would be easy.
Yeah. But then again, I don't know. Let me think about it.
You think about it, man. I don't want to put you on the spot right now.
I mean,
now.
If I can still drink my beer with dinner sometimes, I would be fine with that. Sometimes it's nice to...
Regardless.
Because I like to go and get...
I get you.
Anyways, never mind. I won't even get to how I pick IPAs from a Kroger. I'm not going to get into it.
Okay.
It's a very artistic endeavor. We don't need to talk about it.
You have the prettiest colors, right?
That's pretty much what I do. Sober 2020, you're talking.
So, I have decided there. I laid out 10 goals that I think I've at this point finalized, that these are by no means goals that I'm on the verge of achieving. These are goals that I need to set my mind toward and actively work toward. And so I can share these if you want me to.
Totally. Okay. I mean, that's what, again, we're doing this episode completely candid. If I want to learn more about your systems too, I mean, there's still elements of each other that we haven't been introduced to, especially the in depth, like the spreadsheet. So I'm totally interested in hearing more.
So I guess this is the ultimate accountability check. We're going to have, I have told several people about this, which is great, but regardless. So the idea is to accomplish these 10 goals without drinking alcohol. And if I can't accomplish these in 3 months, which is not going to happen, then I can drink again up to a year, regardless. So those 10 goals that I came up with.
So the stipulations are these goals have to be done in a year, regardless.
That is the goal for these to be done in a year.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what I mean. I mean, there are always things that could happen, but you want to get these done in a year, regardless.
Yeah.
If you get them done earlier, you have this hinge point of, okay, I can drink.
Yes.
If I want.
Yeah. Okay. So first and foremost, I have written one book. I haven't published it. It's a fictional book, a novel, which I intend to polish and release at some point in my life, hopefully soon. But the more Ernie and I delve into health and wellness within the mind and body, the more fascinated by the subject I become, and the more I want to dig deeper into that. And so I would like to write a non-fiction book. So the idea is to conceptualize and write a book in the next year.
Cool.
I have some ideas. I'm not going to share those at this point in time. The next, read 52 books in a year. Kind of cheated because I've got 12 in the bag. Maybe I'll add additional 12 at the end. I'm not really concerned about that. I just have to keep up that habit of reading 50 pages a day.
So have you started these already?
Books?
These goals.
So write a new book? No. Read 52 books in a year? Yes.
I guess for some reason I was thinking these are going to be 2020 goals, but you're starting immediately.
I'm starting
with
right
this.
Now.
That
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah.
Why would
but
you?
I mean, if you want to do 2020 sober, that's cool, man.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
So I get made fun of a lot for this because I talk about it a lot, but I rock climb. It's a big passion of mine. I really enjoy doing it. And
you get made fun of?
Maybe not on this podcast, but my other podcast.
Well, that's an easy
Right.
Leverage point.
Right, exactly.
You're trying to create comedy on there.
So without getting too deep into the weeds, rock climbing routes are graded on a scale. It's called the Yosemite Decimal System. Essentially, Essentially, it's a 1 through 15. 1 is the absolute easiest. 15 is the hardest in the world. And so I'm consistently at a 10 or 11. I'm on the verge of a 12. So that isn't necessarily the best goal for me. So I want to climb a 13 route within a year, which is an extreme challenge and something that I need to, if I'm going to do that, I need to up my climbing. I need to up my working out. So that is going to increase my fitness. So that is that goal.
Great.
These are, you know, great. There's not much explanation in these next two. Pay off my student loan balance, which I not a whole lot left. So that's good. I'm excited to do that. I just need to put more money toward it. Pay off my credit cards. That would be a little bit more of a challenge. Just need to be better with my money and my finances. I also built a budget spreadsheet, go figure, to help track that. Next, I guess the burden on this one is money within itself, but I want to attend a meditation retreat. Within 10% Happier, Dan, in essence, romanticized a 10-day silent meditation retreat. I don't know if I'll be able to or willing to commit to that. I want to attend a meditation retreat, whether it's 10 days, whether it's 3 days, whether it's a weekend. I want to do it in the next year.
Remind me about that later.
Okay.
A friend of mine knows of a free one at the end of the year.
Perfect. I'm going to put that in my status.
Perfect.
Reminder, Ernie. All right. The next one is interesting. Something I've heard a lot about in podcasts, Joe Rogan, Kevin Rose talk about, even Tim Ferriss. It's not something I have experience with, but it's something that I have come to know as mind expansion. And I will preface this by saying I'm not a drug user. I've habitually smoked weed in the past, very casually, very non-frequently. I want to go on a guided DMT trip. Do you know anything about that?
I know I've heard some things about DMT.
Okay.
I've never experienced it. I don't know if guided. I've heard that they're very short, so I don't know if it's guided or not. But you do
I believe it's DMT. I want to have it. I want to find a shaman.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I want to explore the depths of my mind.
You might be thinking ayahuasca too.
I know that there's ayahuasca and then there's something that's less crazy, which I think is DMT. MDMA ecstasy?
Correct.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure it's DMT.
DMT actually is a psychedelic drug.
Okay.
And when you inhale it, it sends you on a psychedelic trip.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely. It would be the lighter version of ayahuasca, which is multiple hours of physical and mental engagement into an expanding process. I've never done either.
Right. I'll start with DMT.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Sure. I really would like to be guided in this process. And just kind of, I don't know. It's all anecdotal. The stories that I've heard from reputable sources like Russell Brand, he's a very aware type of person who's gone through the experiences, Joe Rogan, that sort of thing. There are things that they say that are out there that our minds are just not privy to without that expansion. So I don't know. I put it on the list.
I mean, I've had experience with psychedelics and that's exactly how I would explain it. Expansion.
Are you willing to talk a little bit more about that?
I mean, what could I say? So it was recreational. That was the choice. This is going to be fun, man. Let's do this. And I'd never done it before. In college, I spent a lot of time trying just about anything anybody would bring my way. So I've had my fair share of experience with just let's get messed up and party,
right.
You know, and that's where my mind was for a while. And it was in between. It was like in between that crazy, hectic drinking every night, partying every weekend, all this type of stuff, and finding a deeper purpose in life that I decided to try psilocybin mushrooms.
Yeah.
And I never, for the majority of my life, I had identified as an atheist or an agnostic.
Right.
And then that was where I started believing in God, in the universe, in this force present and happening between every person in every moment. and every person, every plant, every object. Because I could sense so much around me. My body was entirely lit up. And I'll say this too, in my recent study of embodiment, that the effects that I had from psilocybin or from LSD can be found through physical practices and breathing practices. You don't necessarily need to go seek out drugs to find this type of embodied experience.
Is that similar to I don't know if he coined it, the Wim Hof method of breathing?
There's an element there. Yeah.
Okay.
So similar, you can reach similar states with that. And I've even heard from a couple people that they've had what is similar to a DMT trip from similar breathing techniques. So these things you can totally reach these states without a drug. I'd had no idea about any of these things, nor the fact that we were connected at a cellular DNA level with the entire existence of the universe until that day that I tried mushrooms for the first time.
Right.
It was this fluid feeling of time and of people. And it's almost like you could see yourself pushing the fluid and the fluid being caught by another person and pushed out from them or pushed out from an inanimate object. Super strange experience, super enlightening. And that was one of a lot of the work that I've, because this is before I had kids even. This is probably 8 months before I even found out that I was going to be a dad. And I was sold, man. That's the only experience I needed to have. I thought, holy cow, clearly we are all connected and we are all a part of this system.
That's what I want. That's I want to have my mind open like that. So,
yeah. I mean, it's not awesome either all the time.
Right.
It was super scary a couple times, a few times, because your ego is your, this identity that you have is very strong and prevalent or can be. So whereas we could just completely surrender and go with this fluid and just like boom, 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 moving. But then your mind wants to assume things or wants to make up things. And so it's not all awesome either. Like, it was definitely stressful at times as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it did, like you said, it expanded. Yeah,
that's what I want. That's the goal.
I mean, so. And an important point here is it's not legal,
right?
First of all,
so
although they are running medicinal tests on these types of things, MDMA, psilocybin,
and I know actually. Speaking of Tim Ferriss, just I guess he made a huge investment in one. I think it was John Hopkins. They are going to start doing psychedelic research into post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, and all sorts of things. I mean, it's a big deal to him, and totally. I just listened to him talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so it's like it's definitely on a leading edge of medicine and mental health. But at this point, it's not legal, and it's not necessarily something that you can always obtain in a safe manner and even take part in a safe manner. Right. So it's important to say,
absolutely,
we're not condoning that in any way.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's an important,
we're not doctors.
Point.
Yeah. So, so two more on my, sobriety goal checklist. I love mountain biking. I was borrowing a bike from a friend for a long time. So I want to buy a used mountain bike off like Craigslist and just rebuild it. I want to understand the inner workings of a mountain bike, and I want to rebuild it with new parts. Essentially, you know, basically putting a new engine in a car. I want to know how that works, and I want to build a bike that I truly love. So yeah,
that sounds like a fun project.
It does sound like a fun project. So
for many reasons.
Yeah,
but Well, one, because you get to ride it when you're
right,
done,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
That's the point of it.
Yeah.
But two, you're probably going to have to learn quite a bit to do it.
Yeah.
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 Sweet.
Yeah. So I'm excited about that. And then I was hesitant about putting this last one on here because this is something that I could literally go out and do tomorrow if I wanted to. But I've kind of put it as a cap to my sobriety goals as a kind of a celebration, if it were, to get my first tattoo. The idea behind this particular tattoo, I've told myself that I've been holding off on getting it until I get published, which I still hopefully intend to do sometime soon. But the tattoo is, it's, I'm sure you've seen it in the previously. It's a symbol, or I guess it's a Latin phrase that, publishers or journalists will put in printed articles when they're quoting somebody and the person they're quoting uses improper grammar. It's SIC in brackets. Literally means in Latin, thus was it written. So you can make anything sound profound and deep, which I'm not necessarily trying to do. This is just something that means something to me. To me, it means, you know, we make mistakes in life, and these are not things that we can go back and correct, nor are they things that we should want to. They make us who we are. They are a mosaic of who we are. And so that is a tattoo that I've wanted to get for quite some time. And so whether or not I get published in this year period, or whether or not when I accomplish those prior 9 goals, that is the tattoo that I will get.
So that's the end cap.
That's the end cap.
Sweet.
Yeah.
This is cool, man.
I'm excited, man.
And even cooler now that you've put it on audio.
It's real now.
And we can kind of track it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it inspires me to do this a similar thing.
I think you should, man. Yeah. I think you should.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to look at
and
the I have written, and then
I was going
I'll
to
make a spreadsheet.
You should.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can just send you this one.
Totally.
Yeah. I was going to bring this up when we were talking about something in the beginning. You mentioned your music. And when you and I first developed our relationship, you shared a lot of music with me, which was phenomenal. In the past, I've bugged you here and there. When are you going to do some more music, man? When are you going to write some music? I try to ask you that to entice you to do so. So
yeah.
The question from me to you and from our audience members, when are you going to write some more music? When are you going to share your music? When are you going to do what I feel is one of the things you were meant to do in this world?
I agree. Yeah, so I feel like I'm doing that already with the meditations. Or at least like massaging that nerve. Like I definitely have an impulse to make music all the time. Like sometimes I'll sing in my car, just new song that I just made up and I'm singing to, you know, Red Rocks or something,
right,
driving home. It's still that inclination. But I get some of that. I'm trying to think of the right word. But I do want to still write music. I still want to make some more. I just don't share what I've written a lot in the past because it's so dark.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote it in a period of time where it was like I needed to be artistic to stay alive.
Right.
Is what it felt like.
Okay.
I mean, that might sound like an exaggeration, but it was definitely a dark period for me. I had no idea what I was doing. Super, super misguided, I might say, like in my own respect, not necessarily from the world. And I got really good at it because of that burning passion.
Absolutely.
to just like do something that felt good. And, but like I said, most of it's dark, so I don't share it. And I haven't written or recorded in like 2 years. So my plan is once I've established a foundation for myself where I have, I guess my Richter scale of adding projects to my life is how much time am I spending alone on average? And if that becomes zero, then I need to check on some things. and so if I'm not spending time alone, then I need to check on myself, what I'm doing and reorganize my priorities because I think it's crucial for us to be alone and, to keep our minds straight. So whenever I have more time on my hands than I have projects, then I'll be back into music and I'll write it hopefully from a more grounded, maybe not, I was grounded when I wrote it, but from a not so dark place, something a little bit more uplifting. Yeah.
Well, I do encourage you to do that, because you have shared it with me in the past and I did really enjoy it. And it is obviously a creative outlet for you. And I know I struggle with creation in that everything that I as I mentioned, I enjoy writing, and everything I write, I tend to want to share, because obviously there's certainly ego involved in that, but I feel like it can't come to life in my weird twisted vision if it's not seen by their eyes. And so I guess that's probably me projecting upon you how I feel about writing onto your music. But I just more than anything, I want to see you creating, because it was really exciting hearing you talk about it when you were. So
yeah,
I think you should.
Yeah, well, totally. I mean, I appreciate you saying that. I also think it's important. I know I talk way too much on this podcast, such a good outlet for that. I say that as a preface, but I love language, and that was a big part of writing. And we're creating in every sentence, dude.
Like, right.
And we have the ability to make it bring somebody to peace.
Yeah.
We have the ability to excite people in just average conversation. So when we're dealing with a clerk, you know, at the gas station that we visit every single day and we barely even look them in the eye, we have a chance to look them in the eye and say something inspiring or something nice or just a question. That's writing music to me. And I'm not trying to be poetic. Like, right. this is literally what we're doing every single day. We have an opportunity to create in the way we're being, in the way we're talking. And when it comes down to it, the language that we choose, that's like one of our most powerful creative outlets. So I do feel like in that respect alone, I'm creating, and I'm also creating with you in this, and doing meditations, like I said, kind of gives me that, that artistic feel that I had when I was writing music. So
good.
I do intend, like I said, in the future to do so, but I have a lot of these things that are always already scratching that itch. Boom. Yeah. That was what I was looking for. That's the term, scratching the itch. That's it. Yeah.
Well, I feel like that leads us to a natural, segue, before we entertain the idea of wrapping it up, into our challenges and how we want to do this, or even structure this, because this is new to us. So I've told you what I'm going to be doing over the next 365 days. I told you what I'm going to be subtracting from my life and what I'm going to be adding to it. I would like to do more on top of that. So originally when we were texting back and forth, we were talking about perhaps monthly challenges where, I don't know, 1 month we see who can run the most miles. The next month we see who can, I think at one point in time, drink the fewest beers or anything like that. And so, you know, we want to make sure that not necessarily every month we're on an even playing field, but, you know, month to month it averages it out. So, you know, whether or not you're better at something 1 month than I am, it challenges me to step up and vice versa.
Well, that wasn't necessarily the original conversation. That was the idea that you brought.
Right, right.
Yeah, of having like this.
Which came from the dopamine fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how does, and now we're at like, how do we structure those
right,
things?
Right, exactly.
So the way I feel about it is that it doesn't have to be competitive, but more choosing inputs that we don't necessarily choose, and then discussing our outputs.
Yeah.
So, for instance, let's both commit to doing 10 deadlifts a day, and then talk about our posture.
Right.
You know. You know what I mean. And see how who does things like, is it Tim Ferriss? But he basically does this in his life, right? There's somebody else who specifically goes and. Somebody I've listened to that specifically goes and does something and then just comes back. Luke Story. Have you heard of him?
I have not. No.
He has a podcast called The Lifestylist Podcast. An incredible dude. And he's just constantly, he calls it biohacking, going and doing, just trying different things out and then bringing the results that he found to the public. So the competitive nature is great, but I don't necessarily see it being like an important, crucial element to it more than bringing value to.
Yeah.
Like what ourselves, first and foremost, like our own lives, this helped me in this way. And then also telling people this didn't help, or you, it did help and it didn't help me, and why that was the case, those types of things.
I'm so competitive, man.
I am too. Well, that's not true. I am very competitive, or used to be very competitive, but that's kind of subsided a lot lately. So we can entertain the competition. Okay. Aspect, well, let's, but I don't see it to be important.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. How, I mean, let's see if we can. I use this sarcastically. Drag other people, i.e. our listeners, into doing this with us as well. Because I think that is, you know, providing that additional value and providing that additional motivation and accountability, I think would be cool.
Do you think we need competition to get other people involved?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think if we simply, I mean, we don't really have an audience right now.
We do.
Yeah, we have people that are listening consistently.
Yeah, we do.
And they care about what we're doing.
They do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you to those people because it's so beautiful to receive a message or a text. When we just started.
Yeah.
Yes. So we do have an audience.
We do.
I guess what I was thinking is what I was trying to say, and thank you for that, more clearly is if, and I don't care about having a bunch of people watching it. What I care is that those who do watch or listen.
Get value.
Seriously.
Yeah.
It's easy to get caught up in numbers. But my thought was if we don't have an audience of like 10,000 people, or if we did rather, that if you put a proposal out there that more people just law of averages, like if there would be more likely that people would do that rather than maybe if there's 10 people, maybe no one would do it, maybe one, who knows.
So
I really do appreciate the things that people have been saying in the audience that we have already seemingly created.
Absolutely.
It's strange to even
you've got an audience that. Man, you've got this is the twinkle in your eye that
I don't need an audience. That's not the important part.
I'm
trying to do is pay homage to those people that are actually caring about what we're doing and not forget that we're also doing that because I'm really doing this for myself in a lot of ways. When you first brought it up, I was really hesitant. I didn't know if I wanted to do it.
Really?
I knew that I was interested by it, but I didn't know if I was all the way into it. I just knew it would take a lot of work and do I want to dedicate that much time to it? So I'm trying to also remember that this is for people.
It is.
And it matters. But I don't think it would, to get back to what we were saying, I don't think it would matter if it was competitive or not, if we brought this out there.
Yeah.
Hey, we're doing this thing. Would you like to join us and maybe even create a platform for people to do that?
Let's just see what happens.
I don't know, but I'm open to the dopamine fast. That's what I initially wanted to do in the first place.
Let's start
and haven't committed to that.
Let's start with that. Yeah. So, okay. So should we define the terms of what we're going to be fasting?
Yeah, we can go there. I mean, immediately it's like, this is the hard part because it's like, I don't want to be on Facebook, but then I've got to communicate with so many people. So like, then I got to get on Facebook. And then I'm scrolling on Facebook, not communicating with people.
But do you scroll on your phone or do you scroll on your desktop?
It's typically on my phone if I'm on it. And to be fair to myself, I'm also in a program that communicates highly in a forum on Facebook.
So my recommendation, because I still need to use it for work and other avenues, I don't have the app on my phone.
Yeah.
I can still access it through the web browser. It just makes... Like, I haven't looked at my news. This is not, it's going to sound like a brag. It's not intended to be a brag. I have not looked at my news feed in years.
Yeah.
So that just helps. You can still go to your groups. You can still engage and conversate within your groups. Mm-hmm. It's just a recommendation. If you feel like you're using Facebook too much, it's a recommendation.
Yeah. And I mean, it waxes and wanes or whatever, you know, ebbs and flows. There are times where it's like, man, I've got a lot of communication going on. It's pertinent and I'll download Messenger and then the next day I'll delete it. So I'd have to create strong boundaries around that. Like, and I've done what you're saying, like just go to your computer at night, check your stuff, da, da, da.
Yeah.
When you're done, you get that 30 minutes or something. That's a very beneficial practice as well. Yeah. So, I mean, social media would be, or internet, right? In general, seems of course not to neglect your business.
Right.
We're talking with a certain structure where we can still,
let's talk here. So, If we're in regard to internet, and I want to be respectful of your time, we'll wrap this up here shortly.
How much time?
Hour 10-ish. So
we can go for another two.
Another 2 minutes, 2 hours?
2 hours.
2 hours. Okay.
2 days.
Strap in. I will be candid. So the things that I am, I don't want to use the word addicted, but the things that I get dopamine rushes from in regard to the internet, Reddit. I use that to waste time. Pornhub, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be candid about that. And I'm trying to think, I really think those are the two main websites that I waste time on. So I would be willing to give those up as part of a dopamine fest.
I mean, totally. Anything that's mindless and takes you away from yourself. And the Pornhub thing, dude, that's not strange. Like, this is...
I didn't say it was strange.
Right.
I mean, some of the things I look at are strange.
It's something for a lot of men to consider.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because... That's a strong addiction.
It is an easy addiction
for men. Yeah. Sometimes I wish this podcast was like directly geared towards men because there's so many things I just want to say for men in general. But even masturbation in general for anyone, male or female, would be another place to consider, like a dopamine detox, because for some people it's like a quick fix. I would be putting sex on the table. I would be putting, TV of any sort, movies, those types of things on the table. For some reason, I want to put music on there too, but I don't. And then there's a reluctance there, like listening to music.
Yeah.
Or listening to podcasts or things like that and just driving in silence.
I'll tell you what. So right now we are looking at, Ernie and I are talking on October 24th. This, barring an interview getting scheduled beforehand, is scheduled for November 17th. So let's lay out the details of this detox. We will define them. We will talk about them on Instagram, and we will be looking at the middle of November to start a, 5-day fast?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm thinking food even too.
I mean, I want to eat. You're talking like a strict water only fasting for 5 days?
Kind of, yeah. It's possible.
It is possible. Yeah.
I've done it. I did it a year ago.
We'll lay out the details.
I want you to commit right now on this audio podcast right now. Let's totally talk about it because I don't necessarily know all of the places that, right offhand. I mean, I kind of do. I basically stated them: internet, sex, TV.
So I'll tell you what. So this is coming out on the 17th. If we want to encourage people to do something like this with us for their own self-betterment, doing it during Thanksgiving probably isn't the best time. So, let's look at the beginning of December.
That's why you want the food.
I don't care. I mean, Thanksgiving dinner is not that exciting to me. Like turkey, but let's look at laying this out for the beginning of December to do a last month of the year, last year, 5 days or whatever.
That's cool.
Some sort of fast.
That's fine with me.
All right. Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, man, this first check-in that we covered a lot, which I really, really like. And before I even attempt to wrap this up, is there anything else you want to check in with yourself or with me?
Yeah, and with the listeners. Yeah, I want to figure out the pace of our podcasts.
Okay.
Because I really feel a strong urge to create acceptability around, I don't even know if that's a word, around
acceptance.
Acceptance.
That's the word, man.
Around pauses and around thinking, you know?
Absolutely.
I feel pulled. And maybe just calling this out, like simply calling it out, could help with that. But we sat down at the park like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, we did.
And had an awesome conversation. Not that these aren't awesome.
Right.
But the pace of it was like my bread and butter too. It's just very slow. Yeah. You had time to think. Then you said what you thought. And then we thought about that. And then maybe you asked a question or I said something or asked a question. It was just very conscious.
Yeah.
Grounded. Another podcast I'll throw out to you and to the listeners now is Mind Rolling, with Raghu Marcus. I think that's his last name. Maybe he's a student or an associate of Ram Dass. This is a whole nother podcast, another whole podcast, in itself, but the pace that they use, that I'm trying to like sink into now, is in a lot of times just very nourishing. So I want to entertain that we could adjust the pace some too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
maybe that's not what you're looking for with a check-in, but
no, it was What I want to say is that it starts with you. And I don't mean that to be accusing. This is two people in a room talking. So if the pace that you like to speak, just use it and I will reflect. I will do my best to reflect it. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Sometimes I feel as though you cut into the silence, hoping not to have dead air. That's why I'm bringing it up now.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe we'll have cues. Like I'll put my finger up when I'm done, when I'm done thinking. And it doesn't matter. It's spirited conversation. Yeah. I don't want to say that it matters one way or the other how to have a conversation. And I can, I'm calling myself out on it, I guess. Surely. You're going to read something?
I would like to in a moment. Okay. I appreciate you saying that because in normal conversation without microphones in front of us, you are very thoughtful, and there are times where if we're talking on the phone, I don't know if you've hung up on me or not, but, and I've come to appreciate and learn from that and, accept it into my own, daily speaking habits. So it's a very powerful thing.
Yeah. And now like reflecting, I like this little check-in thing and that we can have a conversation like this on the podcast, or maybe we don't.
I mean, I think we should do these every totally. Few episodes. Yeah.
It's important for me to say that you don't necessarily need to change things. Maybe I mean, that's the way it might come off.
The goal of this entire thing is for us to better ourselves. And totally. So if I find value in that, then I'm going to utilize it.
Yeah. I mean, and we're learning. Learning. There's so many different style podcasts, and I admire people that can just be like back and forth about all kinds of deep or scientific ideas, and they're just like one person's going, the next person's going, and it's on and on and on for an hour, 2 hours. But I really love silence too, and just space,
which I think is why your meditations resonate so well.
Hopefully, but there's more to come. I mean, we're learning, and I think what I appreciate about this is these types of episodes, whether or not we do these continually, is that we can freely give glimpses or get glimpses into each other's lives, into each other's lives, share that with people, and then also just talk about like, well, this is what it's like creating a podcast,
right?
And how it's challenging or how it's easy. And so this is good. I like doing this style as well.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, Ernie, thank you for joining me.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Of course, man. Thank you guys for listening.
Yeah. Do us a favor. Oh, were you going to say something else?
I was just going to move us into the links.
Go ahead. Do it, man. Take it.
Follow us. We're at One Mosaic Life.
On Instagram.
OneMosaicLife@gmail.com. I'm trying to memorize these.
They're all good.
The same, I think.
They are.
OneMosaicLife@gmail.com. If you want to email us. Where else? What's our website?
It's onemosaic.life.
See, that's where we're throwing the hitch in.
Yeah.
You got to be paying attention out here.
I want to dive into Instagram a little bit more. We are trying to add as much value to that as we can. And as I've made painfully aware, I think in all my videos, is still learning the platform because I feel so old saying this. Did you like how I said we weren't young bucks anymore? Did you like that?
I was offended.
Were you really?
No,
okay.
No,
all right, good.
I'm starting to realize this.
Yeah. So just trying to use the tool to the best of its ability. We talked a little bit off the mics earlier. I think we're going to, the goal is to provide additional content or clarity into our releases at some point in time. I've done the last two conversations talking a little bit about how those specific topics have influenced my life over the last couple of weeks and leading up to that. And so I think I'm going to continue trying to do something like that. And we want to provide, we don't necessarily want to provide content that's going to just garner a bunch of hearts and likes. We want to put content out there that is going to be insightful to people. An old friend of mine, I think I shared this text with you, an old friend of mine reached out to me, one of the first images you posted, and how that helped her realize that she's fallen away from her beliefs. And Michelle, shout out to Michelle. She, because of that particular post and because of the text you put to it, she was able to realize kind of not the error of her ways, but how important it is to her in her life and how she needs to get back to the practice.
Yeah, that's very good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes. So.
And so we're bringing that type of approach. We want to bring that conscious approach that it's not necessarily saying something catchy so that somebody just scroll, or something pretty so somebody scrolling through just puts a heart on it.
Right.
But actually
exactly.
Something that could impact somebody today or tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. So one mosaic life. And then also do us a favor, especially if you're using Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review, and that'd be wonderful. It helps other people find us. If you want to leave a few kind words, that'd be great too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else before I'm going to kind of read us out here, if you don't mind?
No, I would love that too. And I don't think I have anything else pertinent to say. I would love to continue for another hour, to be honest. I feel like we're sinking into a cool place with this stuff.
We are. And I don't know. I go back and forth. I struggle. I want to be respectful of everybody's time, but I also want to, I feel like we're going to find our happy.
Totally.
Our happy.
Yeah. Meeting. Yeah. We're good, man.
And then, as I did want to mention also, the third part of our podcast interviews, we're lining those up right now, and we're excited to hopefully release some of those in the next month or so. So can't wait. We talked a little bit about meditation at the beginning of this podcast, and I just finished reading Buddhism Without Beliefs by Stephen Batchelor. I had not delved into Buddhism all that much prior to this, so it was very enlightening to see that, or to read more about it. And so this is just a short little excerpt talking about meditation. Self-consciousness is, at once, the most obvious and central fact of my life and the most elusive. If I search for myself in meditation, I find it like trying to catch my own shadow. I reach for it, but there's nothing there. Then it reappears elsewhere. I glimpse it from the corner of my mind's eye, turn to face it, and it's gone. Each time I think I've pinned it down, it turns out to be something else, a bodily sensation, a mood, a perception, an impulse, or simply awareness itself. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Take care, guys.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.